Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and we're at day 188, brings us to Galatians chapter 2, and we're still here in Uganda at Reaching Africa's Unreached, enjoying a wonderful time of ministry as we're teaching a group of 50 men from here in Moyo District in Uganda, as well as from Yumbe District in Uganda, as well as from throughout South Sudan, and even a few folks from Sudan, from the Republic of Sudan. And so we're so thankful for this opportunity to be here, thankful to those of you who have supported this trip with your prayers and with your giving. And we're going to dig in this morning to Galatians chapter 2. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, which is life to us, because it shows us Christ. And so we pray that you would indeed show us Christ and write your word on our hearts this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 2. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately, before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And from those who seemed to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles, and when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and to me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came over, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose, for no purpose. Well, if you remember from Galatians 1, Paul was very concerned because the Galatians were turning away from the one true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and going after another gospel, which was really no gospel at all. And that should have piqued your interest to think, what was this other gospel that the Galatians were turning away after? And why would they turn away after it? Well, we start to get the answer to these questions in Galatians 2. We start to see that Paul is defending the fact that the gospel that he has always preached and the gospel that he has always practiced in his ministry primarily to the Gentiles is the same gospel that Peter, James, and John, that's James and Cephas and John, had practiced among the Jews, that it's the same gospel. Because this is right before the council at Jerusalem that's recorded for us in Acts 15. And there was a division rising within the church, and there was conflict happening within the church, which was the whole reason why they needed to have the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15. Some people were saying, well, Paul and his companions out among the Gentiles, they're preaching this kind of gospel, that's salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, without the observance of the law. But we know that the faithful Jewish believers in Judea and Jerusalem, they keep the law. And so Peter and James and John are faithfully observant of the laws of Moses. And yes, they believe in Jesus. We all believe in Jesus, but they're doing Jesus plus the law. And Paul is doing Jesus alone without the law. And these are two different gospels. So Paul is saying, no, 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 no. I have the same gospel as them. In fact, when I went up to Jerusalem and I met with these, and it's very interesting because one thing that strikes me from Galatians chapter 2 is that this language is very anti-hierarchical. There's no hierarchy in the biblical church. There's no bishops and archbishops and cardinals and pope. That whole structure of layers of hierarchy is something that's added gradually, and it's added after the apostles are gone. Because here he, as an apostle, goes to Jerusalem and he says repeatedly, those who seemed influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. So again, this kind of language, like you see in verse 6, is, I think, incredibly clear that there is no hierarchy within the biblical church. So they compare notes, they compare gospels, and it's the same gospel. And as confirmation that it's the same gospel in verse 3, even Titus, who was with Paul as his traveling companion, was not forced to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. You see, if the gospel was Jesus plus the law of Moses, then Titus would have been circumcised. But the gospel is not Jesus plus the law of Moses. It's Jesus as the fulfillment of the law of Moses and all the promises given through Moses and through all the Old Testament, so that it's fulfillment in Christ. And if you have Christ, you have all in all. So what causes division? Well, Paul tells us, starting in verse 11, what causes division. And frankly, what causes division is when people yield to social pressures and act in a way that's hypocritical and contrary to the gospel. So Peter, Cephas, came to Antioch, and Paul had to oppose him to his face. See, Peter's not the first pope. He's not the head of the church on earth, right? He may have had a position of prominence, but all the apostles were equal, and really they were elders within the church of Jesus Christ as far as the government of the church is concerned. So when Peter came to Antioch, Paul opposed him to his face. Why? Because he stood condemned. Why? Because when it was just the Gentiles in Antioch, plus Peter and Paul and a couple of their close companions who were Jewish, they're all enjoying table fellowship together with the Gentiles, and they're all eating whatever's put in front of them without asking questions. So they're not keeping to the separation, and they're not keeping to the dietary laws. But certain men from James, verse 12, certain men from James came. James apparently had a reputation of being the super Jewish observant among the leaders of the church, just as James, the younger half-brother of Jesus, most likely, and the one who wrote the book of James, that's probably who this is. But so certain men come from James, and they are now Peter draws back and separates himself. And the rest of the Jews, the ones who were part of that small group that were eating with the Gentiles, they all acted hypocritically along with him. So that even Barnabas, you can hear Paul's heartache at this, even Barnabas was, you know, his nickname, son of encouragement, Barnabas, son of encouragement. Even the son of encouragement was led astray, so as to discourage the Gentiles and make them feel like second-class citizens. And so Paul has to get up. When I saw that their conduct was out of step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all. Now, one thing to note about verses 14 through 16 is you have the quotes from Peter, from Paul to Peter, of if you, like a Jew, live like a Gentile, not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? And then you have a closed quote there. You should know this. The quotation marks are not in the original Greek manuscript. The Bible itself wasn't actually written with punctuation. It's just a string of letters that are all run together with no punctuation. And so when translators translate, they have to make decisions about what part of this would have been what Paul said to Peter, and what part of this is then Paul commenting on what he said to Peter. My own personal opinion, for what it's worth, is that I think to the end of the paragraph is all probably what Paul said to Peter. If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, and yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. And then close quote. The reason why I think that is that he says in verse 15, we ourselves are Jews by birth. So Paul could say that to Peter, but I don't think that Paul could write that to the church in Galatia, because the church in Galatia was largely not Jewish by birth. So it wouldn't make any sense for him to be writing that to the church at Galatia. We ourselves are Jews by birth. But he, as a Jew, could say that to Peter, who was also a Jew. So I think the quote continues to the end of the chapter. Does it make a huge difference? No, not really. It's just my little nerdy obsession with trying to figure out every detail about the Bible. It's what I do with my life, and I love it. So, if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? This is now Paul commenting to the Galatians, because there are some people who would say, well, if you're going to get rid of the law of Moses, then you're just going to be a sinner, just like the Gentile sinners, Gentiles by birth. No. No, we are not servants of sin. Right? We are freed in Christ. We're freed from slavery to sin, but we're also freed from slavery to the law. The law never freed us from sin. The law of Moses never had power to free anybody from sin. It was a schoolmaster, as Paul's going to say later in Galatians, a disciplinarian who would bring us to Christ. Christ is the one who sets us free. And so Christ is the one who sets us free. Through the law, I died to the law that I might live to God. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. How does Christ set us free? By killing us. Wow, that sounds radical. Christ sets us free by killing us, by being crucified with Christ by the Spirit. We die to our old selves. We die to our fleshly nature, and we live to God and to His glory. And it's all by God's grace. It's all by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And if you go back under the law, thinking that the law is going to be the thing to free you from sin, you are in fact nullifying the grace of God. You might not say that, but if you go back under the law, thinking that the law is going to be the thing to free you from sin, you are in fact nullifying the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. It couldn't be any clearer than that. If you're hoping to please God and be righteous by keeping the law, Christ died for no purpose, and you're nullifying the grace of God. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Christ sets us free, both from the yoke of the law that was designed to bring us to Christ, and more importantly, from slavery to sin, which Christ frees us by his death and resurrection and our death and resurrection in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of salvation in your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that we have everything in him. We rejoice in your grace, which is full and free and powerful. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that was day number 188, and I hope you have a blessed day in the Lord, and I look forward to seeing you again tomorrow.